Today's message is entitled, Pollution of the Soul. God's Direction for Life is the home site of Revival in the Word, website designed to help identify with the Word of God concerning the economic, political, and religious times in which we live. Identification of biblical and other references can be found in the print edition of this message. Pollution of the soul is systematic of what is being conveyed through ungodly means that were once used for betterment of mankind. Scripture reveals there will be a time that the fruit of righteousness will be turned into hemlock. It is interesting to note that the word hemlock refers to a plant that poison is derived from. Poison infects or pollutes the body until injury, illness, or death results. It can be of a harmful influence, such as will ruin, tint, embitter, or inhibit. Pollution of the soul can bring havoc, violence, chaos, withdrawing of moral values, and numerous other interferences with the norm of life. It was noted it is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible-reading people. The principle of the Bible is the groundwork of human freedom. Every thinking man realizes that the teachings of the Bible are interwoven with our whole civic and civil life. It would be literally impossible for us to figure what life would be if those teachings were removed. We'd lose almost all the standards by which we now judge both public and private morals. Pollution of the soul has devastated our resource of security as man withdraws from a godly life. It allows the filth and degradation of the world to set in to be one's standard of living. There is a younger generation that has allowed progressive changes of a left-wing ideology associated with Marxism, socialism, communism to take hold and debase the usage of the Bible as a standard of living. Godly influence has lessened its effect due to an increase of ungodliness, changing laws and rulings to accommodate and enhance acceptance. The youth of the land is being indoctrinated, programmed, and misdirected at a young age to change the makeup of a nation towards acceptance of secular and ungodly venues. Scripture reveals, woe to them, the oppressors, that devise iniquity and work or plan evil upon their beds or continually. With the morning of light, they practice it, because it is in the power of their hand. It is in the power of their hand brings it to a present-day reality. There are those who have been appointed or voted into positions of power to carry out ungodly agenda that they have allowed in their own lives for pollution of the soul by sources in opposition to God's word. It was noted such individuals dwell on things that are vain, foolish, and wicked, contriving ways and means to commit them because it's in the power of their hand to do so. Pollution of the soul includes having no fear of God to restrain one from carrying out hideous policies that would pollute man, as the pre-flood days of Noah, Sodom and Gomorrah, and Babylon, the hold of every foul spirit, which God dealt with in judgment. It was noted they were bold and daring in their grosses and iniquity, their hearts and lives deeply engaged in sinning, and destructive measures that would change the course of a nation, rather than enhance its adherence to the Word of God. The prophet Isaiah noted a time that one would call evil good and good evil, put darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. A time that one would be wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight, justifying the wicked for reward, taking away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Isaiah noted the fallacy of such a time in speaking the words of the Lord. Therefore, as a fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, that which remains, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they've cast away the law of the Lord. In reference to pollution of the soul, Scripture reveals, They covet fields and take by violence, and houses and take them away. So the oppressor of a man in his house, even a man of his heritage. It was noted, due to a desire to obtain what is not rightfully theirs, they contrive ways and means to get them as part of their own possession by force and violence, if necessary. There are several nations today who are growing in power and strength, seeking lands that they desire to possess. They attempt to take away the freedom of those lands, to bring them under the subjection of the rule, nations that relish world domination. They conquer, enslave, and put down any rebellion to maintain control. Pollution of the soul has become a factor in acceptance of progressive or far-left agenda that leaves God out of the picture. There is a pollution as being inbred into cultural acceptance of the previously unacceptable. A younger generation has become gullible towards acceptance, with such being dressed up as being wholesome and entertaining. This agenda has not escaped the church, as it embraces new cultural changes, enslaved towards what is termed betterment for the soul, rather than pollution of the soul. Apostle Paul wrote to the believers to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable or rational service. Be not conformed to this world, pollution of the soul, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It was noted that Christian life begins with a total commitment to God. A life that has been an instrument of sin is now presented to God as a channel for which the righteousness of God is manifested. The prophet Jeremiah, in speaking the words of the Lord, said, "How can you say, I am not polluted or defiled? I have not gone after Balaam, an idol of the people. See your way in the valley. Know what you have done." It was noted that this was a generation of men that were pure in their own eyes, but were not cleansed from their filthiness, for their iniquity remained before the Lord. Jesus, in identifying such individuals in his time, said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, religious of his day, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess," or self-indulgence. "Cleanse first that which is within, the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also." It was noted they strained wine before drinking it, so as to avoid touching or swallowing anything unclean. But the living was obtained by exhorting wrongfully from others. Apostle Peter wrote, "The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarce will be saved, where shall the ungodly sinner appear?" It was noted that the sinner, the Christless, unbelieving, destitute of sanctification, grace, and justifying righteousness of Christ, living and dying in one's sins, where do they appear? There will be no one to hide them from the face of God on Judgment Day, being pronounced guilty, facing hell as one's final destination throughout eternity. Jonathan Edwards' sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God," contained these words: "Consider the fearful danger that you are in. You hang by a slender thread, with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it, and ready every moment to singe it, and burn it as under. You have no interest in any mediator, nothing to hold on to save yourself, nothing to keep the flames of wrath away, nothing of your own, nothing that you have done, nothing you can do to induce God to spare you one moment." Those words still ring loud and clear today towards endangered souls who are about to descend into eternity without the benefit of a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, unless repentance comes prior to Judgment Day. Will we allow the sanctifying Scriptures and the purifying blood of Christ to cleanse our heart and mind Will we persist in the sin-filled thinking and experience God's judgment? The prophet Jeremiah revealed, "The children and people of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute or defile it." It was noted it was not a single action, but a series, a course of evil actions, and committed openly, in a daring manner, not only before men, but in the sight of God. We are seeing abomination committed or warned against God's word, without consideration of its consequences. Pollution of the soul comes as man countermands the word of God to suit his own desired lifestyle. A story is told of a box sent to Pandora, which she was forbidden to open. She opened the box out of curiosity. They loosened a swarm of evils upon mankind, a prolific source of troubles. We are witnessing Pandora's box being opened today, releasing ungodliness that a short few years ago would never have been allowed to dominate the scene. There is an avalanche of ungodliness that is not only engulfing many a nation, but is being introduced to the youth as acceptable and desirable to change the course of a nation. There is an advance of a culture in defiance of godly standards. Apostle Paul revealed the severity for having done so. As they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It was noted God gave them up to their desired lifestyle and its consequent actions. God gave them up to all forms of uncleanliness and its consequent actions. And God gave them over to a mind that would not retain him in its knowledge and its consequent actions. Thank God for those who speak out against sin, and degradation or pollution of the soul that is rearing its ugly head. If then God had their way, there would be no opposition. An unknown author wrote the things which will destroy us. Politics without principle, pleasure without conscience, wealth without work, science without character, business without morality, science without humanity, and worship without sacrifice. It was noted that the things which once would have shocked Christians are now commonplace. There is much that does not disturb the church like it once did. Many Christians have been lured into believing that all is well. There may be small victories or revival here, church doing good work there, but where is the more outrage necessary to petition God for a new reformation or another great awakening? A legendary evangelist of the first great awakening, Charles G. Finney, noted preaching will bear its legitimate fruits. If immorality prevails in the land, the fault is ours to a great degree. If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If a church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of justice, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, the pulpit is responsible for it. Let us not ignore this fact, but let us lay it to heart and wake to our responsibility respect to the morals of this nation. Pollution of the soul is possible when the word of God is not promulgated to its fullness. Apostle Paul told Timothy, a young evangelist, "Preach the word. Be instant, ready in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. The time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust or desires, shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables, that which is fictitious." May the Lord bless and keep you this day, is my prayer.